We'll be back on this after these messages on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Okay, we're back at South High School. Ethan Check brings the ball into three fouls. He dishes it to Robinson on the wing. Cook on the point now gets it. Goes around a check pick. Cook to stop for three in the corner. Oh, and it's off. Tommy Krinko. Krinko almost had it, but Stosh gets the rebound. Beautiful pass. And he misses the second dunk today. Ethan Thomas is going to have to run a lot of laps tomorrow in practice. Hey, Cook makes it. So talk about a four-point turnaround, Connor.
I think Ethan was looking for a foul on the back there. Here at the top of the key, pass it to Ethan. Pass. Oh, he gets fouled.
Got a foul on the floor there. That might be against Cook.
Yeah. That'd be what? Where is he at now?
Right. Doesn't stop. Gets the call. Four. So two on Staub, four personal for the half against six for the Falcons. Falcons inbound. K to Lutz, top of the key, guarded by Staub. And Thomas trying to get the pitch, trying to do a pick and roll here. Lutz is going to drive.
Lutz at the top of the key against Robinson.
Lutz after Thomas on the corner. He drives
in. Robinson. Beautiful pass. That.
They call the foul on Daniel. I thought he might have ball on that. What do you think? Is that a legit foul, Connor?
I think so. I think he got hit. I think he got hit.
But it's what you call a good foul.
Yeah. And I think on his last dunk attempt, he had also gotten fouled. They didn't call anything. So
stat, that's three missed dunks for Ethan Thomas, who has otherwise been a factor here for the Falcons on offense and defense. 8 points so far tonight, two fouls. And here comes the first free throw from Thomas. And he's way off. Boy, that would have been a violation if it was the second shot. The senior forward, 6'9". Check comes out. Robinson comes back in. Robinson out for a very brief moment. I didn't even see him leave. Did you, Connor?
I did not.
I think it was just a quick chat with coach. Robinson only has one foul that I count. So, second shot here by Thomas. Oh, and it's good. And the Falcons are back in the lead, 37-36. Cook at the top of the key. Robinson setting a screen for him. Nowhere to go. Back out to Robinson. Trey has it out. Trey gets called for the travel before the break. You know, those little guys, they're not going to get those calls, unfortunately. Lutz will inbound from the side for the Falcons. Robinson providing coverage there in the backcourt. Against Hero back in the game, Miles Hero, the sophomore. As Stosh sets a pick, only briefly though. Lutz being covered by Duncan. Duncan coming in for Staub. Lutz up, and they get Duncan there for the push. Easy call to make there. What do you think, Connor?
Pretty easy.
Yeah, that was only Duncan's first foul, so it'll be both teams even at six fouls here. As Kay will inbound from the side into Lutz. Falcons now going to the north basket.
That was a carries there. I don't think they called it, though.
Danny Ainge carry there, yep. Lutz has the ball now in the right backcourt. He gets it to Stosh in the right corner. Stosh drives the basket. Nowhere to go. They call a foul on Staub. Is that right? It's either Staub or Krinko. Krinko had his hands up. He wants to know. They're saying he had his hands down. They're giving him the old keep your hands up, right? But it looked pretty high to me, didn't it? So two on Carrinko on the big man. .937 is your time. Gennaris, the lefty, makes the first. 8 points for him so far. Is this now a 2-point Falcon lead? Gennaris with the second free throw. And that's in and out, but rebounded by Thomas. And he misses. Crink with the rebound. He gives it to Cook. Cook will bring it up. A 2-point game. 9:27 and counting. Robinson now has it in the right backcourt. Crinkle comes up to set a screen. Oh, they tried doing the pick and roll, but Pirro blocked the Robinson pass to Crinkle driving. Now Robinson goes to the middle. Shot. That's off the front of the rim. Rebounded by Lutz. Almost stripped away by Duncan, but Lutz hangs on. Lutz is driving all the way. He drives. And Carrinko draws the jump ball. Possession stays with Whitnall. Carrinko just ripped the ball out of Lutz's hands as he was driving. A gutsy play that can easily be called a foul just by the look of it.
Yeah.
Inbound by Hero to Stosh. Thomas at the top hands it over to Kay. Thomas comes back down into the paint. The post, I should say. Hero with the ball coming to the center court. Right on top of Blackie. Hero goes past the screen. Kicks it back to Thomas. Back to Lutz from the left backcourt. Lutz dishes it to Thomas. Thomas all out. And a foul on Carrinko there. Thomas went down hard. Carrinko got him from behind. He's trying to sell it like Lutz. That's three on Carrinko. So, and Carrinko's going to come out. I don't know why the ref's making him come out of the... It's almost like the ref was walking him back to the bench.
Yeah.
What's that all about? Teddy Oka comes back in for Carrinko. I don't know a ref could, unless you call it technical, could remove a player like that. But Thomas for the free throw is first. That one falls. So Thomas finds his mojo. 2 for 3 from the line. After a total brick on his first attempt. Thomas again. Nothing but the bottom of the net. So that's 11 points for the big man, the 6'9 big man for Whitnall. It's now a 4-point lead, tying their biggest lead of the game. Cook has the top of the key. He drives, he shoots, and he's in. Tyron Cook.
Yeah, beautiful step move to make space there.
I sure was.
Ethan in the.
I guess
they passes it out. It was too hard of a pass by Hero, and Ethan drops it, goes out, turnover.
Love it. So big break for the Blackshirts, trailing by 2. Is there another timeout? Falcons will call timeout now. 8:21 is your time remaining in the second half. Blackshirts staying tight with the Falcons. Scores 40-38. Let's take a quick break.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Okay, we're back to Waukesha South High School. Blackshirts trailing the fearsome Falcons of Whitnall. 40-38, looking to get their first home win and their first home game of the season. And remember, we'll be back this Friday evening. Coverage starts at 6:30 as the Blackshirts take on crosstown rivals Waukesha North, the North Stars. Blackshirts enjoying a 1-0 record in the conference, 1-1 overall. Hoping to get their second win tonight against a very good Whitnall program. As Whitnall returns its original starting lineup to the floor, Blackshirts have same except for Staub. Staub in for check. So it's Cook, with the ball, top of the key, guarded by Kay. Kicks it over to Robinson, guarded by Hero. Dishes it to Teddy Oak on the right wing. Teddy Oak to Duncan. Back to Robinson on the left. Cook, top of the key. Cook fakes, shot from deep. Yes, Tyron Cook! 17 points, and the score is tied. 7:52 and counting. As Lutz brings it up, kicks it over to Hero. Stosh in the right wing. Lutz on top. Kay back to Hero on the left wing. Back to Stosh in the top. Well guarded. Tenacious man by the Blacks and Sea. Lutz drives past Duncan, though. The shot. Yes! That Lutz is dangerous. 13 points for Lutz, including a three-pointer. Back to a two-point Falcon lead. Cook dishes to Staub. Staub to Duncan in the corner. Duncan comes around. He drives. Dishes. Teddy Oka back out to Robinson on top. Staub from three. Staub shoots it. Oh, off in and out. Cook with a rebound. Oh, but he can't make it a tough angle for Cook. So now Lutz has it from the outlet. Gives it to a driving Stosh. Stosh can't get the handle on the ball. Gets away with a travel. Now they call it. After great pressure by Robinson and Duncan, and a little bit of little taste of Teddy Oka there too. 6:49 is your time remaining as Robinson breaks it up. Blackshirt's looking to tie it again. Quick wiping off his palms in the back of his shoes. Cook guarded by Kay, now double covered. Robinson wide open for three. Robinson, oh, off the back of the rim. And it's knocked out on Stosh. Staub had a hand in there, but Stosh knocked it out.
Mm-hmm. I have to say they've been playing really good D.
They sure have.
South has.
Yep.
So on the inside.
Placed by Karinko, and Check will inbound it. I was looking forward to seeing the quarterback inbound that, but... And Aaron Bickham returns. Check with the inbound. A lot of pressure. Up high. Cook skies for it and gets it, brings it down. You know, if you have no option, you just throw it up real high and Tyron will get it. Covered by Kay. Goes around to check pick. Crinkle's got it. A lot of pressure there. Kicks it back out to Robinson there. Now to check. Check top of the key. Jack tries to dive, kicks it out to Robinson. Well covered by Hero. Dishes it into Cook.
Double team on Hero right now.
Yep.
Robinson out and top.
Karinko. Karinko's going to drive.
Drives in.
Karinko with a beautiful layup, but it won't fall. He got past everybody, but just a tough, still had some arms in the air. Oh, a little dish to Thomas. Thomas going to try to take it. Wow!
Beautiful move by Thomas.
Thomas. That was just pretty. 13 points for Thomas. It's a four-point lead. Oh, another turnover.
Terrible take by Robinson.
And there's a three-pointer. Oh, and Lutz misses. Check can't get the rebound. Hero for three. It's off.
Cook rebound by Cook. Puts it back down. Robinson out in the corner. Takes the shot.
Oh, that one fell. Check fighting for the rebound. Here's Thomas.
Thomas with the rebound.
And a foul on Check. Fouling Bickle.
Or Bake. Fouling Bake.
But you know what, though? Look.
It's Bickle? Bickham.
Right. We'll call him Bickham.
Ah, it's got it. It's Bickham.
That's four on Ethan Check, the senior. With 3 points. Duncan's going to come in for Check. 5:13 remaining. Scores 44-40. Whitnall. Aaron Bickham looking to get his first points in the evening here in the bonus. Rashad is, that's good. So now it's a 5-point lead for Whitnall. Blackshirts need to get some points in a hurry. Keep that tough defense up. Second free throw. That one falls. So a 6-point Falcon lead. 46-40. 5:06 and counting. Second half. Cook's got the top of the key. Grinkle comes up the screen. Cook goes around it. This is back to Carrinco. Carrinco for three. That's off the front of the rim and rebounded by Kay. Now Bickham has it. Bickham got away with the travel there. Kicks back out to Lutz. Now Hero's got it. And Whitnall, no hurry to score here with a five-point lead. Kicks it over to Kay. Back to Lutz. Bickham has it. Back to Kay. Lutz driving. Lutz dishes to a wide-open Parkinson. And I think we need a black shirt timeout. And we get it. Coach Rick has seen enough. It's a 48-40 Falcon lead with 4:28 remaining. Let's take a quick break here on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
We have to really understand how critically important a time this is. Time for talk is over. The time for action is now. Because my voice has always been and will continue to be for people who don't have a voice.
Tune in to the Earl Ingram Show every Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. Only on WAUK 540 AM, 101.1 FM, The Shaw.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Look through your children's eyes, and you will discover the true magic of a forest.
Find a forest near you and start exploring at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States.
Okay, we're back to Waukesha South High School with the Black Shirts down by eight with less than 4.5 minutes remaining. So it's crunch time now. Estab inbounds to Robinson. Robinson to Duncan. Estab in the corner, nowhere to go. He goes all the way across. Dangerous pass. And they call it off Daniel Robinson. Another controversial call. I don't think Robinson touched it.
He didn't touch it at all.
So, wow, just terrible calls. I'd like to see the licenses on these officials. So, Hero brings it up. 4:12 remaining. As a dangerous pass by Staub. Oh, yes. Cook steals it from Kay. Cook's going to drive. Oh, it's blocked beautifully by Lutz. Wow.
That wasn't a – they're going crazy.
Is that a foul or block?
That was a – foul. That was a bad
foul. Yeah.
The Whitnall Bent audience is going crazy over there, but that was obviously a pretty heavy foul. He just destroyed his arm.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah.
I was too busy watching the ball fly. So Cook at the line, shooting two. First one's good.
It was a good drawing the foul on Tyron there. That's what we need now.
Need it, yep. So 7 points, 48-41, 4:03 remaining. Second shot by Cook, and that one falls in, yep. So it's a six-point game. Duncan giving pressure to Lutz in the backcourt. Kicks it over to Bickham. Bickham guarded by Staub. Gets away with the hook on Staub. Robinson steals it. Duncan takes it now. Duncan driving past Hero. It gets knocked away. Off of Whitnall. Great little defense there, shipping the ball. And he got to talk about hooks.
Yeah, talk about hooks.
A hook by right in front of the ref, too, and no call.
Yeah.
Stop inbounds to Carrinco. All the way back, Carrinco hands over to Cook. 3:40 and counting. Cook covered, double covered here. Cook stops. Stop's going to go for three. That's off the front of the rim. Rebound by Duncan. Dishes it to Cook underneath. Cook, that won't fall. And a rebound by Parkinson. Now it's double coverage on the rebound. I think Trey should have pulled that up the first time. He was right there.
Yep.
The trees were far enough away. Lutz covered by Duncan. He gets past. Nope. Robinson's over. And we got a timeout by the Falcons. Travis Reisup wants to talk about things. 6-point lead really remaining for the Falcons. So. We'll take another quick break, Calvin, on the Black Shirt Sports Radio Network. 48-42 is your score, 3:08 remaining.
Hey, this is Don Brown inviting you to get local with me every Saturday morning, 8 o'clock, on my show, This Week in Waukesha, live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown. Local news, local sports, local people, local music and culture. This Week in Waukesha, every Saturday, 8 a.m., here on Walk Radio, 540 a.m., 101 FM. The show.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back here at South. Stosh will inbound for the Falcons. Heavy coverage on the inbound at half court here. Blackshirts trailing 48-42 with 3:08 remaining, so important defensive stand. All of them are now. Robinson covering Lutz. Lutz drives, pulls back, drives again, pulls back again. That was Hero, excuse me. Kicks out. Lutz is going to go all the way in. Lutz trips, and he's a little shaken up here. Trey Duncan gets called for his second, so. An unfortunate foul because he basically stepped on Duncan's foot.
Yeah.
And that's the call, so, I mean. First shot is true by Lutz. Was 14 points so far, 258. It's a 7-point lead. Second shot, that was good. So it's an 8, back to 8 for Lutz as Cook brings it up. 254 and counting. Cook under heavy pressure from Hero. He's going to shoot it from deep. It gets blocked. Lutz has the rebound. Lutz driving, covered by Duncan. He goes past Duncan for the easy layup. And another timeout by Coach Richter. And, you know, Connor, I hate to say it. It's, you know, one of the mortal sins is not to give up that baseline.
Yeah. And that's a mismatch right there. They shouldn't have Duncan on Lutz.
I couldn't agree more.
They should try to put either Tadioka or Karinko on him. He's really tall, very fast.
Well, you noticed the first half they had Stout covering here.
Ed Stout, wow. Yeah.
Good job.
I wonder why they haven't put him back in the game yet, considering that he'd be a good matchup for him.
Sure. So,
just size-wise, you need more size on the court right now.
Yeah, it's a 10-point game now, 238. It's a real tough spot. And Lutz, let's see, 6, 8, 10, 12, 15. 17 points now for Jonathan Lutz. He leads all scorers. The big hero, Miles Hero, has 5. But, you know, don't be dismayed or what's the wrong word?
Turned off.
Yeah, he's had a good game overall. The way he leads the offense and plays tenacious D, and he probably has double-digit assists.
Yeah.
Probably the most beautiful one that, you know, kind of what really – defines the game was that kick out he had to stash in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone thought it was all him. He killed it. So we come back after the quick timeout by Coach Richter. The score is Falcons 52, Blackshirts 42. So we need to score quick. It doesn't have to be a 3. Get some points in and get some pressure on the inbound pass, full court. Let's wreak some havoc of our own. Check brings it up, top of the key. Check under heavy pressure, back out to Robinson. Duncan in the corner. Cook's going to take it. He's going to pull up, back out to Duncan. Duncan drives. No! Oh! He swings it into Robinson, but just couldn't. I get hurt. Robinson jammed his finger on that pass. It was a really quick pass. You know, I'd like to see Trey take those, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah.
It's just overpassing, I think, there. Hero being covered by Robinson. Well covered. And really, at this point, Falcons do not even have to take a look at the basket. They just got to work that ball. Lutz drives from no man's land. Off the front of the rim. Rebound. Duncan. Duncan kicks out the check. 2 minutes of your time remaining. I'm actually surprised Lutz even took that shot. Check hands it over to Cook. Cook over to Duncan. Duncan back to Karinko. Karinko for 3. Off the front of the rim again. And Stosh has a rebound. Stosh having a great overall game, too. The alley-oop to Thomas, and he's not going to miss that one. A statement dunk by the 6'9 senior. It's now 54-42. As Cook misses another. So I hate to say it, Connor, but it's all but the crying here. As Hero gets the ball. Kay has it. Back to Thomas. Thomas back to Lutz. They're not even going to shoot now. Just going to kick it around. And this one goes off of Check tips it off of Stasha's foot. Goes out of bounds. So Blackford's with the ball back. But Tadioka's going to come in for Staub. No, I'm sorry. He's coming in for Robinson, interestingly enough. Cook brings it up. So it's now 1 minute remaining in the game. Blackford's looking to try to get more points. Check drives back out to Staub. Staub can't shoot it. Check fakes to Cook. Check to Staub again. Staub for three. Kind of forced that one out. Off the front of the rim, going nowhere. Hero rebound, kicks it over to Lutz. Lutz to Thomas again. Thomas going to dunk another. Yeah. 17 points for Thomas. Cook off the back of the rim. So Lutz is dribbling it up, taking his time, and that's it. Well, it was a beautiful game. Just kind of fell apart at the wheels there, Connor, in
yeah.
the last 2 minutes, and really unfortunate to see.
This game was a game of tenacity, honestly. They both played really defense the entire, entire game, but Whitnall was managed to hold out for a little bit longer than South was. So,
a big win for Whitnall. Like I said, you know, for 35, 36 minutes was a great game. And a tough loss for the Blackshirts. The consolation being it is a non-conference, great practice for Classic 8. Blackshirts will be back at it again this Friday here at home. Their conference home opener. As the PA reminds everybody, as is his ritual, to hug your children when you go home tonight before they go to bed. So this has been the Blackshirt Sports Radio Network. Another great game. We'll do a quick recap here, Connor. Tyron Cook. 19 points for Cook. 10 points for Daniel Robinson. 6 points for Bright Staub. 3 points for Ethan Check. 2 points for Trey Duncan and 2 points for Tadioka. And that's your story tonight for the Blackshirts. And, you know, and a big talking point here, Whitnall Falcons had, we mentioned 17 points from Ethan Thomas, 17 points from Jack Lutz, 5 points from Miles Hero, 8 points for Stosh Giannaris, 2 points for Bickham, 4 points for Brody. So a little bit better point distribution, as well as ball distribution. And with that Whitnall team, you can count on some, I think it's just, you know, even just those one or two more scores make a big difference at this level. So
yeah, at the half, the point distribution was pretty equal for both teams, but I think following it, they resorted to just having Tyron run in and do the drives, but he wasn't getting the calls. So
wasn't getting
the shots neither. Yeah. And so that didn't get, give them enough points to take the game, and they just kind of fell out at the end as they lost momentum. So
unconscious, you made two straight threes, and that was really that started to get exciting. But
and that was it.
Adjustments to make sure that he wasn't going to do that again. So again, a big credit to Ryan, Travis Reisop, Whitnall, and his crew, and they made some great adjustments. And you know, big win for Whitnall, and great experience for our Blackshirts, if nothing else, as we return to Classic 8 play this Friday against the North Stars of Waukesha North. So for all of us here, downtown Donnie Brown, Connor Boston from Chicago, Calvin Butenoff back in the studio. We want to thank all of you for joining us tonight. And come back and see us this Friday, 6:30, as the Blackshirts take on the North Stars, crosstown rivals. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a great turnout. And could be a Blackshirt victory. So thanks again for listening. Bye for now, and see ya.
Great, great broadcast.
Thanks, Calvin. Appreciate it.
General's ass in there, man.
Yeah.
The Shaw 101 FM.
Brookfield's choice for News Talk Radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Capitol Riot. I'm Ben Thomas with an AP News Minute. The chairman of the House January 6th committee plans to send criminal referrals to the Justice Department.
Benny Thompson is not saying who will be targeted or whether Donald Trump will be among them. Vice Chair Liz Cheney has hinted for months that referrals will come. Thompson says the panel will discuss details while looking to issue its final report by year's end. While Congress can send criminal referrals to the Justice Department, deciding whether to actually pursue charges is ultimately up to federal prosecutors. Sagar Magani, Washington.
And Congress has awarded its highest honor, congressional gold medals, to officers who defended the Capitol. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
We honor their extraordinary service and sacrifice for courageously answering the call to defend our democracy in one of the nation's darkest hours.
I'm Ben Thomas.
Girls and boys in poverty around the world are dreaming of a better life, filled with dance, art, music, and knowledge. They dream of a brighter future with enough nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn and grow, to get an education, escape poverty, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, such dreams are coming true. Together, we give children a chance to set their sights high and succeed in school and in life by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and so much more so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves. Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today. Together, we can help end poverty for good.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
The plaintiff, Donald J. Trump, hereby serves his suit against the defendants, Hillary Clinton and her cohorts, orchestrated an unthinkable plot, one that shocks the conscience and is an affront to the nation's democracy. This week on Fox.
You know what I mean? Like you're throwing a few too many adverbs and adjectives in this sentence.
One man, one mission Donald Trump gets made fun of. This is Watergate 2.
Making radio great again.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Outside groups spent a record amount of money on races for Wisconsin governor and other state offices during the midterm elections, more than $93 million, according to the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. That's 50% more than the old record set in 2018. 35 groups spent about $48 million to help Republicans, and 36 groups spent about $44 million on Democrats. Outside spending numbers on U.S. House and Senate races come out early next year. Governor Evers lights up the Wisconsin holiday tree in the Capitol Rotunda in Madison today. This year's theme is The Waters of Wisconsin. In sports, the Bucks beat Orlando last night 109-102. Tonight, Badger men's basketball host Maryland Marquette welcomes North Carolina Central. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
If billionaire humanoids like Elon really wanted to save us from extinction, they would do the honorable thing by going first.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So as we're looking towards results tonight, you know, yesterday I had a really good conversation with Sandra Williams, and I didn't get to play it yesterday. I'm going to play it here in a couple of minutes with the RSWDU, the retail workers down here, the folks who you may remember the Amazon campaign down in Alabama. And we're going to be going to Alabama tomorrow on the program. I'm going to be sitting down with former Alabama Senator Doug Jones, talk about some of
the stuff, you know, the results today, obviously, and the path forward. And I look to Doug Jones as one of those guys who, not hyperbolic, not someone who's looking to get headlines, look, someone who's looking to get stuff done, someone who's looking to, you know, actually make lives better. And also, you know, we're going to go down to the site of the Warrior Met coal strike. They've been on strike over a year. And this is one of those things where, again, our mainstream corporate-controlled media pays no attention to what is going on in the lives of workers. And look, you know, I got some attention here for beating up on Joe Biden a little bit for his, I think, mishandling of the rail situation. But it comes back to us. All of this organizing, all of this, this want of workers to join and form unions, all of this push to get something done. And it comes back to the politics. It comes back to why, you know, I'm here in Georgia covering this and embedded with the unions to, you know, to find out what it is their members want and what it is, you know, workers are looking to access and to gain. It comes back to simple stuff. Simple stuff. Wages, hours, conditions. Same thing's always been. And the more we allow ourselves to be sliced and diced, shredded, if you will, the more we're going to continue to get cheated. And, you know, I'm looking at, again, the situation here in Georgia. It's quite remarkable when you talk to people about stuff other than the, you know, the horse race. People are struggling. People are having a tough time. Inflation's hurting. And while Republicans use it as a talking point, use it as an attack line, they don't have any solutions. And this is where, again, you keep coming back to, you know, what's the plan? Show me the plan. Tell me what you're going to do. And there's nothing. I mean, I look at someone like Herschel Walker and you go, there's literally nothing. Seriously, you want that guy making policy? You want that guy making decisions? Quite remarkable. I'm going to take a quick break here. When we come back, I'm going to play the interview from yesterday with Sandra Williams. She's the deputy political director over at RWDSU. You can get some of the thoughts at rwdsu.info. I'll take a quick break. Right back with Sandra. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. Working people, come to talk.
I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in Two.
On this day in labor history, the year was 1897. London became the world's first city to license motorized taxicabs. More than a century later, cab service has seen many changes. Today's taxi drivers are an important sector of workers trying to win union recognition. The National Taxi Workers Alliance organized in 2014 in New York City. It is affiliated with the AFL-CIO. Traditionally, each taxicab driver in the U.S. has been classified as an independent contractor. This means that a taxi driver union could not appeal to the National Labor Relations Board for recognition of its right to represent workers. But this didn't stop the determined taxicab driver. They organize their union anyway. Being a cab driver is extremely difficult. Workers are often on the streets for long hours a day, 6, sometimes 7 days a week. The U.S. Department of Labor labels taxi driving as one of the country's most dangerous professions. Taxi workers are forced to buy the fuel that they use and pay high lease rates for their vehicles. Most taxi workers also must lease medallions, which are the permits required for cabbies to pick up passengers. As independent contractors, the taxi workers are on their own to buy health insurance. Jamal Hussein, a National Taxi Worker Alliance member and taxi worker, said, "All the risk is ours. If gas prices rise, we earn less. If it's a slow day, we earn less. But the company gets its money no matter what." Taxi drivers now have to deal with the growth of ride-sharing services such as Uber. These ride-sharing services do not have to meet the same regulations and safety requirements as taxi drivers. Organizing drives have spread to other cities. In Chicago, AFSCME has helped to lead a series of cab driver actions. Like what you hear? Check out more at laborhistoryin2.com.
Listening to The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
So one day left, one day to get out the vote, one day for people to plan to vote in Georgia. Tomorrow is the big day everyone's been waiting for. And as I've been saying, look, I think this is going to be, and I'm not jinxing anything, but I think this is going to be a decisive victory for Reverend Warnock. The folks that we've been talking to here, there's an excitement. There's a level of wanting to get out and vote on one side, and on the other, you know, the Herschel Walker crowd, I don't know how you get excited for werewolves or what was it, vampires? Or I don't even know. It's that kind of crazy. But here to share some thoughts on what's going on here on the ground in Georgia as they are doing some incredible get out the vote work. I've asked Sandra Williams to come talk with us. She's the deputy political director for RWDSU, the good warehouse union folks. You may remember them, the Amazon thing in Alabama. Great work there. Sandra, thanks for taking time for us.
Hey, Rick. Thank you for inviting me.
So, you know, I'm on the ground. I'm talking to people. And do you agree with my assessment that you think this is going to be a fairly decisive victory just because of the enthusiasm gap that's here?
I think you'll see that we will win. Senator Warnock will win. Do I think that it will be close? Yes, I do. We have a lot of young enthusiasts. We have a lot of labor enthusiasts. We are on the ground across the state. That's not just in Atlanta, but in South Georgia, Albany, Macon, Camilla, down in areas where, you know, we're rural populations. Have to vote. And with Senate Bill 202, some of those early voting places that we had last week, there may be one in an entire county. So, yes, I do think people are enthused. I think the numbers that we saw last week for early voting shows record turnout. So I'm looking forward to Tuesday night.
Yeah, you brought up Senate Bill 202, and we've been talking about it here on the program for months. In fact, when we did our Working Class Heroes radio tour back in October, we did a number of events with Greg Palast, the investigative journalist who produced the movie Vigilante, Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman, just on this topic. And listeners still have the opportunity to see Vigilante the movie by going vigilantemovie.com. Still free, thanks to Jamie Foxx funding this free presentation. So you still have till tomorrow to make sure you see Vigilante, the Georgia's Vote Suppression Hitman. But, you know, the fact that there are all these challenges going on and the truncated, you know, runoff period and all of the weirdness that came out. It's interesting to me that I think Georgia voters are probably the most educated, most informed, most active simply because, well, you guys have had to basically hold on to your vote with white knuckles and get a stranglehold of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I am proud to say that Labor has partnered with the faith community and with community organizations to go throughout the state educating our voters. In many cases, we have a lot of nonpartisan organizations that are basically telling people, this is what you need to look for. You need to make sure that you know where you can vote. We had gerrymandering or redistricting in the state, so that impacted a lot of voters. We've had shifts in terms of where people are actively moving from rural areas to more urbane areas. And so that all has an impact. Whether you can provide someone with a bottle of water in line and whether your vote will be questioned or can be questioned by anyone that takes issue with you once you cast a ballot, all those things came about with Senate Bill 202. So we know that voters need to be vigilant. They need to know what to expect. They need to know and have the numbers to all of voter protection hotlines. And we have it every turn, made sure that people are aware. You can take action. When you're told you can't vote here, give me a provisional ballot. How do I follow up on that? We also have been training people on how to cure those ballots. If someone was turned away, or someone voted provisionally, what do you need to do to make sure that that vote actually counts? Yeah. So, yeah, there's a lot entailed, and we have to do voter education 24/7 here in Georgia because it's ever-changing. And the application and interpretation of this Senate Bill 202 is different in every 159 counties in our state.
Now, I saw you on Saturday at the big AFL-CIO event here in Atlanta where Senator Warnock was out there to fire up the crowd. And one of the things that I think really endeared him to the crowd was his story about his father and the work that his father did and the hard work that his father did so that he didn't have to. It's that kind of parent's view of I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to do so that my kids can have better. That kind of understanding. I mean, that's something that everybody talked about on Saturday.
Yeah, I think, you know, when you listen to Senator Warnock, he is a just person. And, you know, he has had that experience of coming from very little, a very meager background, where he was the 9th of 10 children. We know that his hard work through school and his dedication to people in the process, as he finished Morehouse College here in Atlanta and went on to be further educated and become the presiding minister over Ebenezer Church, which is the historic church of Martin Luther King. But even more than that, he is relatable. We know through hard work and determination, we can all strive. And in our African-American community, that resonates greatly with us, because a lot of folks may not have, as he mentioned, his dad was a World War II vet, as was mine. We know the work, we know the determination, we know the barriers that those folks had to face, even to vote. Within my lifetime, Rick, there were people that were killed for voting. So it's essential that you exercise that right. It has been a sacrifice for many before us and will continue to be something that is essential to our community and to seeing being the change that we want to see across not only Georgia, but across America.
Yeah, what does it mean for your community that that Reverend Warnock is in the Senate? I mean, you know, you talk about, you know, the historic, you know, Ebenezer Baptist Church. You talk about his you know, his past. You know, what does it mean for the African American community to have someone like him in the Senate?
Well, it means a lot. When you talk about, and I want to look at primarily, look at the jobs that he has. I live in a state where the state minimum wage is $5.15 an hour. Senator Raphael Warnock has been an advocate for workers. He has worked very hard on the infrastructure bill. He has also, for working people that have no health care insurance. This is a state that does not accept Medicaid expansion. We don't have that. But we have 500,000 people that fall in the gap where they have no coverage. So if you have a senator that is saying, let's bring down the cost of insulin, and we know that that is a disease that impacts a lot of people in our state, predominantly African-Americans. But if you can bring down the cost of insulin to $35 for that prescription versus $100,
yeah,
or you a person that has to determine whether they go without their medication, what sacrifice they have to make because of the cost of it. The other part about that is we know our opponent, and I'd like for him to remain nameless, but I'll say Herschel Walker, said that people with diabetes should eat right and exercise more. Well, that flies in the face of someone that has type 1 diabetes. That is something that they are born with, and it is an autoimmune disease that has to be cared for, and they're insulin dependent. So there are decisions that are made by Senator Warnock that has shown to us he cares about the community. He cares about all people in the community. And he is one to push forward measures that will improve the lives of Georgians.
Yeah, I mean, the $35 insulin thing seems kind of like a no-brainer. I'm of the mindset it should be free, simply because we know that people who don't use the insulin, the costs down the road, and this is just purely economic. This isn't even a matter of right or wrong. This is purely dollars and cents. We know that people who don't use their insulin properly, who have to choose between paying the rent or putting food on the table and getting the medicine they need, we know this costs us as a society so much more in, you know, people going blind, needing amputations. You go down the list of the horrible that comes by not having this, and you go just from an economic standpoint, forget the morality, just from the pure economics, it makes sense just to hand it out for free. Yet for some reason, we just don't think that way.
No, you have to be a caring person. You have to be in touch with your community. You have to know what is actively going on with the citizens that you represent. That is not the case, I believe, with Herschel Walker. I will say, however, with Raphael Warnock, being a person that is, he's always open to phone calls from his constituency. Any number of times, members of labor have called him and asked him to address issues like the PRO Act, mm-hmm, or to get his vote on measures that will improve the lives of our members and our community. And he is always willing to take our calls. The other concern is about character. Character and performance. We know that Senator Warnock is prepared to be in the Senate, as opposed to his opponent that has lied about any number of things. We also are concerned, I as a woman am concerned about the abuse and the violence that we see has been demonstrated time and time again by claims from not only Herschel Walker's ex-wife, but other women that he's been involved with.
Yeah.
So,
no, I mean, here's the thing.
I cringe.
Yeah, here's the thing. Anytime an ad starts off with a woman going, the first time he held a gun to my head, that should be kind of a disqualifier. I'm just kind of throwing that out there. Anytime the first time he held a gun to my head, which means there was another and another.
And another.
Yeah, I mean, that just seems, I don't know, it seems like a disqualifier.
Well, it should be a disqualifier, and I'll give you another disqualifier. Anytime you claim for a homestead exemption in another state, and you consider that your primary residence, as he does, is his home in Dallas, Texas, then that should be a disqualifier as well.
Yeah, but how much
we
do you
know
think
that he played football.
Yep.
There is no question that he was a great athlete in his day. And that was back in the 80s. But now he is not qualified to run for Senate, but to become a senator and serve as the best in the best interest of Georgians. He hasn't proven that. He has no proven track record. I'll go as far as to tell you, with the company that he owns, which is a meat processing company, there are, and this is a news story that was released, where there were people that were in a drug rehabilitation program. They had the option of doing time in prison or working in one of these meat companies. The understanding is, even though he was a partner in the meat company, people were working there 10 to 12 hours at no cost. This was work therapy. That's just not fair.
Work
That's
therapy?
Free wages.
Work. This harkens my mind back to the old lease convict programs of the 1850s and 60s, where they would lock black men up and then lease them at a cost to this for the state to make money to the mine owners to break mine strikes.
Absolutely. Happened throughout the South. And this is a practice that he has employed here in the South. Wow. So it's frightening for people like me, because I believe if you have a drug program, it should be to rehabilitate the person, to give them addiction counseling.
It should be to help them, not exploit them. It should be to help them get better lives, not exploit them.
Correct.
Wow. You listen to the Rick Smith Show. We're here with Sandra Williams. Sandra's the deputy political director for the RWDSU union. She was also the former executive director of the Atlanta North Georgia Labor Council. We were out on Saturday at the AFL hall there, your home turf. And wow, the turnout was quite amazing. I think speaks volumes to the work that you were doing as head of the CLC here and also to the Georgia AFL. I mean, they were out, you know, doing their labor walk. I'll tell you, you think of Georgia as a no rights at work state, but there were some really gung-ho, strong union people out there in the streets. And I'll tell you, I was a bit surprised.
No, we were very happy to see the turnout. And that has been throughout this campaign, and particularly during the runoff. We had a lot of union engagement during the general election. We know that with a majority, not just 50-50. We know we're fine. We need that one additional seat to make sure that those securities and those processes and the programs that we are asking for working families, make it all the way through. That we don't have to worry about people like Joe Manchin, Kristen Sinema, that hold out when we know that workers have voted them in office.
Yep.
Yet, when it comes down to looking at bills that will better the lives of many Americans, they choose to sit out or vote with the GOP. So what we know is it only strengthens our positions in the Senate. We know that we don't have the numbers quite in the House. However, there are a number of areas that we work in a bipartisan fashion. We know that not all union members are of the same party, but we work together when it comes to issues that impact labor families or working people. So that's why I was encouraged. Not only did we have the over 400 people turn out yesterday to do canvassing, we also had community groups, as I mentioned before, to advocate that people get out the vote.
Yeah.
We also had President Shuler from the National AFL-CIO here on the ground with us. We had any number of international presidents that were here on the ground to encourage their members and to go canvassing with them. As Liz Shuler actually went canvassing yesterday. It was a rainy day. After we left the rally, the rains came, but we were still out there in masks asking our fellow union members, if you haven't already voted during the early voting, to come back out on Tuesday. Polls open at 7 in the morning. If you're in line by 7 p.m., you can vote.
Stay there. Stay in line. Make sure that your vote is counted. But here's the thing, and this is where you brought up the numbers. And as I've been saying, math matters. Democrats don't have the math to move an agenda that working people need. And I look at what the president did this past week, and I'm not happy with it at all on the railroad front. I'm not at all happy with the fact that they rammed through this agreement without sick days in it. For me, this is a moment where the national call should be for everyone to get sick days. This is a moment for, I don't know which political party is going to pick this up. I'm hoping the Democrats come forward and say every worker should have the right to when they're sick, to stay home without fear of discipline and without fear of lost wages. So I'm not happy with the administration, but it comes down to the math. It comes down to, we need more people in the Senate and in the House who are going to fight for working people's needs and wants and rights.
And I think I know you're right. The biggest advocacy that I can ever bring as a leader, and that's for programs such as yours that actually get the word out about what it is that unions and labor are doing, is that we encourage people to have those conversations in the community. Have those conversations when you have your union rallies and your union meetings regularly. Because when people can actually match dollars and cents to policies, then they're activated to go out and vote. Have those conversations with the people that represent you, even in your home districts, whether it's your House Senate district or your House of Representatives. Start locally, because all politics is local, but we know all local politics has a bit broader impact on all of us when we look nationally. And that is the message that we need to get out to everyone. Yep. This is not a one time we come together during elections. We come together every month, every day, to talk about those issues that impact workers.
There you go.
And that is a must. Going forward, we have to make that a priority so that not only the presidential administration knows, here's where we stand. But we know that this was a time that they pushed through this measure because we did not want the entire system to collapse. And without that, we're trying to come through an economic period where inflation is high. People know gas is high, although the prices have lowered over the last month. People are still feeling that crunch at the grocery store.
I never have in the last recent history
paid this much for eggs or a gallon of milk.
And we can thank our corporate masters for gouging our eyes out.
The numbers are coming down, yeah. Right.
But at the end of it, we're not talking about taking on the consolidation and the monopolization of industry after industry. And we could spend days on that. But I want to focus on tomorrow, the big election. What's the final message, the final push for our affiliate station in Noonan, Georgia, for our listeners across the country? What's the final message?
The final message is we all need to get out to vote. If you voted and you know your neighbor hasn't, find time to call your neighbor today. Make a plan. Can I take you to vote? We have voter protection numbers available everywhere. If you need rides to the polls, please contact the Atlanta North Georgia Labor Council or the Georgia AFL-CIO. We are partnering with places like the New Georgia Project, We Vote, We Win, to get folks out and to get them rides to the polls if they don't have that. Anyone that needs help, please reach out. You can reach out to me. I'm available. My number is 678-209-6019. We will get you a ride to the poll no matter where you are in Georgia.
There you go.
Just give us a call.
There you go. Sandra, I appreciate the time. Thanks so much. I wish you guys the best here in Georgia. I hope folks will get out and vote tomorrow and make sure that if you're in line by 7 p.m., you stay in line, you get your ballot cast, right?
Absolutely.
Thanks so much. Good stuff, Sandra Williams. She's the deputy political director for the RWDSU.org, the website. We'll get links out on social media. How you can take a look at.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.